Eagles, fair to say they ran all over the Washington Commanders, 55-23, and seven rushing touchdowns had not happened in a championship game of some sort since the 1940 Bears. So to talk about the Eagles, who are going to the Super Bowl, we bring in Jeff Kerr. Jeff covers the Eagles for CBS Philadelphia. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Lori. How's it going? By the way, if you want a really fun stat on this game,
sure.
The Eagles have more rushing. They have more rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game than the Cowboys had all season.
Oh, that actually makes Giant fans feel a little bit better.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure Giants fans are having a tough time with the whole Saquon Barkley thing. But
they
are. I'm sure they're over it now. They're probably tired of hearing about it.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So in terms of this game, final score 55-23, but relatively early on, this looked like it could have been a much more competitive game. And I thought the turnovers really changed the game early. Philadelphia with those peanut punches and forced three turnovers, scored TDs on all of them. And on a day when possessions were going to be at a premium, again, before this thing turns into a blowout, defenses having a hard time stopping each other, a turnover means you're not scoring points and you're handing it to the Eagles, and they scored touchdowns off of all three. Tell us about, one of the things they mentioned during the broadcast was that punching the ball out, and especially when a player like Eckler is down and tries to get back up, it sounds like this is something that Nick Sirianni maybe doesn't get as much credit nationally for the kind of coach he is because of his style and personality. But it sounds like this is something that is just absolutely drilled into this Eagles team.
Yeah, it is. So Nick Sirianni always preaches his four core values, and I always say he changes them a lot of the time. But one of them is physicality, toughness, heart is always one of them. And that's what this team, they kind of live off their head coach. And, until this season, I kind of knew the players believed in what Nick said, but the actions never showed it on the field. When Nick Sirianni in week six was going at it with a couple of Eagles fans after their close win over the Browns,
yep.
It was right after the bye week. I talked to at least 15 players in that locker room about him, and they said, hey, they all said around the same thing. We got his back. This is our guy. This is the guy we play for. And they just kind of been rolling ever since. And, I honestly felt bad for the Giants after that week because I'm like, oh, they got the Giants next week, and that's the Saquon game. But then they kind of beat them pretty good, and they just rolled from there. And this is a team that, look, say what you want about Nick Sirianni. He's one of three coaches to go to two Super Bowls in his first four seasons as a head coach. And there's pretty impressive company that he's with, Joe Gibson, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I always talk about legacy on this night and after the Super Bowl because legacies and narratives about players and coaches and even executives change based on getting to Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls. And so Nick Sirianni is definitely one of them that went from last offseason, there were people questioning whether he was the right guy for this Eagles team and his job, Eagles fans calling for Sirianni and for the team to make a change. And now here we are, as you said, he's in elite company with a chance to win a Super Bowl. And suddenly you have to take him very seriously. But whether it's, we'll talk about there's Howie Roseman, there's Sirianni, there's Jalen Hurts, there's Saquon Barkley. For all of these guys, there's legacy. But one guy I wanted to start with, I texted you about, is I think nationally people are starting to talk more and more about Eagles offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland. And when a team runs for seven touchdowns and has the kind of season the Eagles have had, and when you compare, yes, Saquon Barkley is obviously a terrific running back, but he ran for 3.9 yards per carry last year with the New York Giants. Now, some of that is shame on the Giants, obviously, but it also shows you the offensive line and the team the Giants put around him, and you watch what he does with the Eagles, what is Jeff Stoutland doing that, you know, how much of this great Eagles offensive line, players get hurt, players retire, players come and go, and yet they can do this. How much of this is coaching and Stoutland? How much of this is it draft? Is it development? How do they do this?
It's definitely development, Lori. So it's funny, like for years we always said in Philadelphia, Jeff Stoutland is the MVP of the Eagles. He's the assistant coach you can't afford to lose. And it's kind of gotten overshadowed a little bit this year because of the turnaround the defense had with Vic Fangio. So we've been saying, oh, well, he's the MVP of the Eagles. But now it's always been Jeff Stoutland. As long as Jeff Stoutland is here, the Eagles are going to have a good offensive line. I mean, this fan base is so ingrained in, it doesn't matter. Like, you, me, whoever could line up on the Eagles offensive line on Sunday, and the Eagles fans would think that they're going to run for 200 yards because of how Jeff Stoutland drafts and develops these guys. And, you know, look, Jason Kelsey is a student of Jeff Stoutland. You know, I know Howard Mudd, the old offensive line coach before Jeff Stoutland, drafted Kelsey, but Kelsey became an all-pro under Stoutland. And Lane Johnson is going to be a Hall of Famer under Jeff Stoutland, and probably Jordan Mulata the same way. Like the Eagles, they decided to put Lane Dickerson at center, who hasn't really played center since college, and Tyler Steen at left guard, and he's been, you know, helter-skelter this year when he plays, and they still run for 200 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Right.
It's just it's absolutely incredible what they're able to do. And a lot of it is Saquon Barkley, but honestly, this is a product of what happens when you put a really good running back with a really good offensive line. And I would swear it to the moon last year with DeAndre Swift. And I liked him a lot, but I'm like, look, this guy isn't a good running back. Like, Saquon Barkley is an elite running back, and you're putting him behind this line. I mean, you're seeing the result. It really isn't a surprise the team is in the Super Bowl.
No, look, Saquon Barkley, as you said, elite running back, but I really do believe whether it was Saquon Barkley, you know, it could be Bijan Robinson, it could be Jahmyr Gibbs, it could be, you know, any of the, Saquon is an elite running back, but a handful of elite running backs, you put them behind that Eagles offensive line, and I think these are the results you get. And you're right, there have been good, decent running backs that the Eagles have had, but look at what happened to Miles Sanders with the Eagles. He looks really good. He leaves and he's nothing. So that offensive line and that formula, obviously, they take good to great. They take okay to good. The other one, again, we'll get into Saquon in a moment. The other one I want to talk about, just like Sirianni, there has been under fire nationally. And yet, here we are heading, the Eagles heading back to another Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts, at times, Eagles fans questioning him, and is he the guy, and has he done enough, and there's not enough passing, and all of this stuff, and is he hurt? And then we watch a game like this one, 20 of 28, 246 yards, pass for a touchdown, you know, ran the ball for 3 touchdowns. And also on a day when the Buffalo Bills come up short, and we think of Josh Allen on a tush push and the short yardage, that he's supposed to be an unstoppable force. How much do we take for granted what Jalen Hurts means to this Eagles team, the impact, and even the impact on the running game, and a Barkley, because you have the threat of a Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, so I talked to a lot of players. This actually was my column for CBS Sports Tonight, and I talked to a lot of players about what makes Hurts, you know, in the biggest of moments, why is this guy seem to show up? And, you know, I kind of know the answer, but you want to hear the players tell you, right? And, you know, Jordan Mulata said it best. Look, he can say what he wants. We know he hears what people say about him. But he works so hard for moments like this that it makes a victory even better, because they know how good Jalen Hurts is, and they know how the preparation he has, and you know, he hears, oh, the Eagles don't win, and he, you know, or the Eagles win, and he throws for 150 passing yards. Well, you know, it's a funny stat, Lori. Jalen Hurts, every time he throws for over 250 yards in the playoffs, the Eagles lose. You know, they're 5-0 or 6-0 now, I guess. But when he throws for under 250, and he threw for under 250 today, ironically, and, you know, that's why I always say passing yards is such an arbitrary stat, right? Because Jalen Hurts is crushing it in the first half, just slinging the ball around, but they didn't have to throw anymore. And, you know, yeah, you use the pass to set up the run, but the Eagles have done that. They just haven't had to do it in the second half. They're never trailing in any of these games. So, you know, yeah, when they needed Jalen Hurts to be the $51 million quarterback today, he was. And really, he's been doing it all year because, to me, the number one stat, and this is what I used to get on Daniel Jones for a lot when he was in New York, was turnovers. And Jalen Hurts just doesn't turn the football over. He's turned the football over twice since week 5. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And all right, so now let's turn to Saquon and I think Washington, they opening drive, they come out, they drive, they kick a field goal, and you think, all right, moment maybe not too big for them. Let's settle in here. And then Saquon Barkley takes the football all the way to the house. They score in 18 seconds, and the absolute tone setter. What was the atmosphere like there in Philadelphia, and how did that play right there kind of change the entire momentum and tenor of this football game?
Yeah, Laura, it felt like, you know, I'm just comparing it to great moments in Eagles history. You know, when it kind of was like when Brian Mitchell returned the opening kickoff in the last game of the Fed against Tampa. I know the Eagles lost that game, but that place was so electric that when he returned, and then Deuce Staley scores a touchdown right after that on the first offensive play, and you're like, okay, there's no way they're losing. I mean, they did lose, but you felt there was no way they were losing. Honestly, I thought it was as loud as that, or as loud as when Patrick Robinson picked off Case Keenum against the Vikings when the Eagles were down 7-0 and he returned it for a touchdown. You're like, all right, game on, you know, and the Eagles just rolled from there. They scored 38 unanswered, rolled 38-7 and went on and won the Super Bowl that year. I mean, it was so loud. I want to say you could hear the Lynx shaking, but I think it wasn't like a clear, like, touchdown run here. It was just Saquon being Saquon, doing what he does. And I'm just amazed at what this guy could do. Like, I predicted he'd have, like, this a great season for the Eagles. I thought he was going to have a monster. If someone had told me that Saquon Barkley's going to run for, you know, 2,000 yards and have all these 60-yard touchdown runs, I'd just be like, yeah, okay, maybe I'm stretching it a bit. But this is, I mean, we might be seeing the best individual season by anybody in NFL history.
Best what? Best? No, it's not. Well, I don't think it's the best individual season of anyone in. I mean, first of all, I assume you're talking running backs, and
yeah, for running backs. Okay. I mean, Terrell Davis has the mark, and he's only 30 yards away from passing him.
Okay,
for the most,
so, yeah, most yeah, yards.
Kerry Rice okay. Probably has the best individual season.
Yeah, I'm just saying there are players. I mean, I would say Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, there have been better running backs in NFL history. This situation with the Eagles offensive line and all the talent around it and what they asked Saquon to do, it is a dream scenario for a super, super talented player who, you know, look, I said earlier, if he stays with the Giants, there's a decent chance this guy is not going to the Hall of Fame. He averaged 3.9 yards per carry last year with the New York Giants. And yet now with the Eagles, I mean, all it is about health. He just has to stay healthy. If he stays healthy for a few more years, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And it's that big a difference with the Eagles. And the only question I really had with the Eagles and how well this would work was health. The Saquon that we knew and saw in New York, every few seasons there was an injury and something that would keep him out for a number of games. And so that was really the question. Would he stay healthy? But you know what? If the Eagles offensive line can block like this and you don't really go touched until you're at the, into the secondary.
Like his yards before contact are like 2 yards higher than they were in New York. I mean, that's the offensive line right there.
Right. So it doesn't batter on you and take as much of a toll. There's less chance to get hurt when you're running downfield like that. But God bless him there. No, it's been incredible to watch. And I think the impact he has on and off the field and as a leader and the confidence he gives to a football team, I think is transformative, and we're seeing that. I want to give a little time to the defense as well. Vic Fangio, as you said, came in, and last year's Eagles defense versus this year, I'll ask you the same question again, is with Howie Roseman, sort of draft, develop, all of that. We said with offensive linemen, a lot of it was develop. I marvel at the change in this Eagles defense and the results with Fangio and the philosophy there and the influence he's had on the entire NFL with his defensive philosophy. But how much credit to the players that Howie Roseman brought in versus the impact that Vic Fangio has had on this Eagles defense?
It's definitely a combination of both. And look, when the Eagles brought in Fangio, I wanted them to change, like, from that style of defense, because they have with Jonathan Gannon and they have Sean Desai and Matt Patricia. And I'm like, okay, unless you actually bring in Vic Fangio, this is probably a joke. And they brought in Vic Fangio and I still wasn't a fan of it, but I'm like, Vic's still a really good coach. Let's see what happens here. If he can get in the 15th, I thought that was an incredible year. They were the top ranked defense after week five. And, you're right, though. Vic Fangio had an impact on the Eagles getting Zach Bond, or how he signed him, but Vic Fangio said, you know what, let's move the off-ball linebacker. Mm-hmm. I got a feel, or them drafting Quinyon Mitchell, them drafting Cooper DeJean, them bringing C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, getting some swagger back on the defense, the development of Nolan Smith, the elevation of Jalen Carter from good to great. Milton Williams has always been good. Now he's a dominant force there. It just seems like almost everybody they touched, except for Bryce Huff, was good for them this year. And mm-hmm. I mean, Bryce Huff can't get on the field. I don't know. And everybody thought that was a really good signing, this offseason. So who knows? I mean, maybe if the Eagles got to keep Bryce Huff around next year and Vic Fangio's around, I mean, who knows? I'm just amazed at what this defense is able to do. Like, I thought they did a really good job against Jay and Daniels today, and I thought Daniels had a great game. So, give credit where credit's due. And if the Eagles do win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Vic Fangio.
Yeah, the transformation of that defense. And now we get to an interesting matchup with the Super Bowl. You have Steve Spagnuolo and that Chiefs defense. A lot of the conversation over the next 2 weeks, most of it is going to be Eagles and Saquon Barkley, Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, that's what everyone's going to talk about for 2 weeks. And yet, I think Steve Spagnuolo and Chiefs defense, Vic Fangio and Eagles defense, they're going to have, I think, the most to say about who wins this football game. And so, looking ahead, give me one key to the game or what you're going to be keying on and thinking about as the Eagles prepare for this rematch against the Chiefs. They lost the last time. Jalen Hurts played superbly that day, but the Eagles end up losing, and the Chiefs were the better overall football team that day. What are you looking for this time?
I do think it's intriguing that the Chiefs haven't allowed a running back over 88 yards this year, and Saquon Barkley has the most 100-yard games in the NFL this year, and has three straight 100-yard games in the playoffs. I'm curious to see how that works, how the Eagles match up in the trenches with the Chiefs. Like, I thought the Eagles had a huge advantage last time with their defensive line and the Chiefs' offensive line. And I even said, I thought the Chiefs' offensive line was the best offensive line the Eagles' defensive line faced all year. And Eagles' defense didn't get a sack. And we all know about the turf situation and all that. But I'm curious to see, how a pass rush that wasn't as dominant as the one 2 years ago goes up against a Chiefs offensive line that wasn't as good as the one 2 years ago. So, you know, that's something I'm definitely going to watch. And it's weird, Lori. Like, I want to, and again, I haven't made my pick yet, but I know not to bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but it is funny how I think this Eagles team is better than the one that played Kansas City 2 years ago, and this Chiefs team is worse than the one that beat the Eagles 2 years ago, but yet, yeah, Reid and Mahomes are the dynasty for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Look, you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. This is the opportunity. You don't get too many of them. The Eagles obviously had a chance a couple years ago with a lot of this nucleus, and they're not able to get it done. As you said, this is a deeper, better Eagles team, and the addition of Saquon Barkley and what that does to the offense and the addition of Vic Fangio as a coach and some of the players that Howie Roseman has brought in, the incredible depth on that Eagles defense. And yeah, on paper, this looks like a fantastic matchup, and I think we're seeing the best team in the NFC against the best team in the AFC, and we'll find out in 2 weeks. Jeff, really, really appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me.